Technorama episode 341 for April 25th, 2012, Padawans led to the slaughter.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Whoa, it looks like another plane coming right for us.
Where?
Over there, in the media corner.
That's just Venus, you doofus.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for April 25th, 2012. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig? The intro getting a little long for you?
Yeah, no. I'm doing good.
It hasn't changed in like 7 years. What are you talking about? It's too long.
I know. No, I'm doing fine, man. Since this is the first show since our my anniversary, I want to say happy anniversary to my wife. Thank you very much for the nice 11 years.
Loved that picture on Facebook, by the way.
Yeah.
It was like Craig in the MacGyver years, but it was only 11 years ago. Is that what you said?
No, that picture, I couldn't tell you. We've been together for probably about 15, 16 years. But I couldn't tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't tell you.
You had, like, longer hair. I mean, you got the crew cut thing going on right now, sort of that military buzz cut.
Sort of.
But back then, it was, what, probably an inch and a half long?
Yeah, it was a little longer.
Had the goatee going.
Yeah, the goatee going. And those glasses, those were like Ralph Lauren, you know, polo. They had the large lenses, you know, and encompassed of your vision.
Yeah. The kids called those when they saw my 80s and early 90s glasses. Said, Dad, why do you have those goggles on?
Yeah, goggles. Yeah, they actually reach down and touch your cheek. They're so big.
Right. Yeah. And then you get these real narrow ones, and you start going, whoa, I can see through.
Yeah.
It's not really affecting my vision that well.
That's funny.
I kind of need something a little bigger, but I'm not ready to go. Anyway, enough with the vision talk. We're not eye doctors and don't claim to be one on TV. Let's move on with the show. Coming up in this episode, we have a way to double your brain capacity. Apparently somebody needs that to write this line. Yeah. The French apologize for everything, and we take a hands-on look at the first sentient robot.
Uh-oh.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. Are you?
All that and more coming up right after this.
Careful what you wish for.
Welcome back. Hey, we want to give a shout out to everybody in the birthday calendar. If you're not on the birthday calendar, we want to wish you a happy birthday anyway. This week we have coming up on the birthday calendar, April 29th is Shepherd Tom from Outside the Known Universe. Wow. I think Doctor Who went there once. And April 30th is Julio Diaz, or Julio from Tijuana. Happy birthday to both of you. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar, just go to chuckchat.com/wiki or go to the Technorama page. And there's a wiki link like on one of those top menus somewhere. You'll find it. You're intelligent. We trust you. Well, as far as getting on the wiki anyway.
Yeah, right.
On this day in history for April 25th, 2012. It was on this date in 1782 that highwayman Nicholas J. Pelletier becomes the first person executed by guillotine.
Ooh. Wow. And the last survivors of the Donner Party are out of the wilderness in 1847.
Also today in 1859, British and French engineers break ground for the Suez Canal.
Oh, that's my cue. New York becomes the first U.S. state to require automobile license plates on this date in 1901.
Another way to get taxes.
Yeah.
Today in 1939, DC Comics publishes its second major superhero in Detective Comics. He is Batman, one of the most popular comic book superheroes of all time.
And also on this date in 1953, Francis Crick and James D. Watson publish The Molecular Structure of Nuclear Acids, nucleic, what's the difference?
Good luck with the rest of this.
A structure of
deoxyribose, nucleic acid.
Something to do with DNA. Okay.
That's exactly what DNA stands for, deoxyribose nucleic acid.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, that Crickin' Watson. Oh, silly me.
Durr.
53 years ago today, the St. Lawrence Seaway linking North America and Great Lakes and the Atlantic Ocean officially opens to shipping. Wow, I would have thought it was older than that.
Yeah, me too. It was on this date in 1960, the U.S. Navy submarine USS Triton completes its first submerged circumnavigation of the globe.
Robert Noyce is granted a patent for an integrated circuit today in 1961.
And 29 years ago, the Pioneer 10 travels beyond Pluto's orbit.
So long! And today in 2003, the Human Genome Project comes to an end 2.5 years earlier than expected. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Scottish astronomer James Ferguson, born today in 1710.
And also on this date in 1849, German mathematician Felix Klein.
American aviator John Bevins Moisant was born today in 1868.
All right, Italian inventor, recipient of the Nobel Prize in Physics, Guglielmo Marconi, was born today in 1847.
Happy birthday to French astronomer Gerard Henri Vacoler. I hope I got that right. Today in 1918.
Oh, great news, everyone.
First up in the news, we have, oh yeah, the Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver has come to reality. We get this from io9.com. How many times in life have you come up against a problem, a locked door, a stuck vending machine, or an army of killer robotic Santas?
It happens all the time.
Absolutely. A group of researchers has built their own Sonic Screwdriver, although it remains untested against the Dalek menace. A team from the University of Dundee has invented the first device capable of turning objects using ultrasound waves. Dr. Mike McDonald, one of the researchers on the studies, was very eager to compare the new invention to the doctor's trademark tool, telling the BBC, "Like Doctor Who's own device, our sonic screwdriver is capable of much more than just spinning things around. But this sonic screwdriver should prove more useful to medical doctors than Earth-defending ones." A device that can turn objects using ultrasound offers an additional type of control for ultrasound surgeries on top of the control offered by ultrasound scalpels. The sonic screwdriver could also help deliver targeted medications now that physicians will have the ability to twist objects in the human body, ow, in addition to pushing them and pulling them. Double
ow. Ow, my spleen! Ow!
That's not my spleen!
I mean,
that's not my spleen.
You know how they get pineapples off a tree? You can kind of twist it, and not a pineapple, but like a coconut. You twist it, and it pops off.
Yes.
Yeah.
I should have grabbed Julie's sonic screwdriver just for this episode.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
All
I don't know.
Kinds of comedy in that one.
Well, I mean, it sounds great. I just wonder if it helps me unlock my car if my keys are left in it.
When you forget your keys.
Yeah, when they're in the, well, can you imagine going out, you go out and you're in a hurry and you left the keys in the house, you just, get in the car and do it again.
Dude, they got cars these days, you don't even need keys. You don't need keys to get in, you don't need keys to start them, they just know who you are.
What car do you have?
Look at some of the newer cars, man, like 2011, 2012.
Well, remember.
They are high tech.
It's really interesting.
And speaking of drinking, which we weren't just doing,
yeah.
A new study says that 2 beers can make you cleverer.
I agree with that.
Well, let's do our own study and see if we can counterman that and get it up to 3 or 4.
I've been studying for 20-something years here.
If you're hung up on a brain-twizzling problem, crack a brew. A new study from the University of Illinois, of course, suggests that, contrary to common belief, alcohol buzz might actually improve your problem-solving skills. You know, I believe that. In terms of creativity, you can get a little more creative and solve problems.
Hey, I agree too.
Slightly intoxicated. I've never disputed that.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of these shows.
How could I get this girl home?
A team from the University of Illinois at Chicago and led by Professor Jennifer Wiley believes that inebriation might enhance the mind's, quote, working memory capacity. This is how well one pays attention to a specific subject. Quote, it's the ability to remember one thing while you're thinking about something else, Wiley said. By lowering this capacity, the mind becomes more adept at lateral thinking strategies and novel solutions. The team found that test subjects with the back oh, blood alcohol content of 0.07, just under the drunk in most states, struggling with attention intensive trials, but excelled at questions that required more flexible thinking, flexible and malleable brain thinking, I suppose.
How the study found that. How do we get him a ticket or talk a cop out of letting him go?
I'm not as think as you drink I am.
Yeah, take me, Osfer, I'm home.
The study found that the drunks not only solved 40% more questions than their sober control group, they did so 3.5 seconds faster as well. That's about the only thing you're going to do faster when you're intoxicated. Completing their tests in 12 seconds compared to 15.5 for the sobers. The bottom line is that we think being too focused can blind you to novel possibilities, and a broader, more flexible state of attention is needed for creative solutions to emerge, said Wiley. The findings certainly make sense given alcohol's reputation as a social and intellectual lubricant.
So what they're saying is I should drink a couple before I go to work?
Your call. I've been known to imbibe before podcasting.
Yeah. Well, yes, but okay.
It certainly has come up with some creative solutions for us.
Yeah. Yes, just listen to the show you're listening to.
You'd never know. Actually, this one's being done sober for me, so see if you can tell the difference.
Me too. I'm drinking the water.
He's got a blood alcohol content of nothing.
I'm in the negative zone now. It means I owe my blood something.
Hacks and Stray Stories. In the Hacks and Stray Stories, we want to know if Technorama had any influence on this article that I found on Engadget about a handmade particle accelerator. You remember we did that little intro parody sketch about the little Hattie, build your own Hadron Collider?
Yes, I do.
Well, now at Milan Design Week, someone's come up with a handmade particle accelerator. When it comes to particle science, it's not all about huge winding tunnels and god particles. Super slash collider, a group that aims to promote science through eye-catching creative methods, teamed up with designer Patrick Stevenson Keating to craft this relatively simple but working particle accelerator for Milan Design Week.
Hmm.
The setup involves several hand-blown bulbs with vacuums inside them, allowing electrons to rocket from side to side, lit in a purple haze. Thanks to Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, purple haze! I'm sorry.
Thanks to a phosphorus screen at one end. The whole thing is fashioned from the relatively commonplace gear you see above, although how-to guide still remains unfortunately non-existent. It looks like a big transformer, a coil from an old car, some piping, a brass T fitting, and a styrofoam bowl. I got that.
I've got all those things in my car.
Do you like sushi?
Yes, but sushi doesn't like me.
Completely switching the topics.
Yeah. No, I like sushi.
I like sushi too. When I first saw this, the graphic was going by and it looked like the old eyesight camera that Apple came out with.
That one does with the holes all over it.
I thought it was. I'm like, wow, they redesigned the eyesight. Wait a minute, that's sushi. What they've done is come up with nori, you know, the seaweed wrap around the sushi.
Yeah.
They've laser cut it. Now I'm thinking you could put some logos on there. You could even like make a music scroll and put it in your piano. All kinds of things you could do with this.
That is pretty cool.
It's very creative. I don't know if it actually, you know, when
what's the
Charles Stell did the laser etching on those gingerbread cookies for us a few years ago.
Yeah.
You could still smell the burn smell from the laser. I'm wondering if that's an issue here or if they use a cooler laser that just cuts without burning or something. Hmm. Yeah. I'm going to look for these.
What's the pixel count on these things?
This is a line of laser-cut nori, the seaweed sushi wrappers created by Japanese ad agency INSBBDO, pronounced Bobido. Okay, we'll go with that. As in, her stomach sticks out further than her Bobido. Oh, Boobidoo.
What?
Thank you for the pronunciation correction. It's actually pronounced Boobidoo. For Umino Seaweed. It's funnier when you read it the first time, isn't it?
Yeah.
To help boost business after last year's devastating tsunami. I dig them. I also dig for buried treasure on the beach. Ever find anything? Just a hermit crab wearing used, well... You read the show notes for the rest. Now, there's some close-ups here. Some look like hexagons. Some look like little flowers. Some look like little snowflakes. Some look like almost like a carbon fiber weave here. This is kind of cool stuff.
One looks like a daisy or something, or some kind of flower.
Yeah, little flowers. Daisies mm-hmm. don't have five petals.
Whatever.
I still say some of these look like the old EyeSight camera, which I also have in the basement. Was that what you used
that government grant on to count the petals on a daisy? Daisy research.
You don't have girls. You don't know these things.
No.
I also have an EyeSight camera in the basement.
And it looks just like these.
I should get a new wrapper for it.
Hey, that one looks like it has Braille written on it.
It's an encoded message in binary.
So you could actually feel it and...
That's what made me think of the player piano.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel it. Oh...
Tuna.
Eel and squid and yellow. Yeah, I like this one.
Nom, nom,
the
nom,
menu's
nom,
not in Braille, but the nori is. And Florida won't be using these because they have hanging chads. Have you ever heard of Witzelsucht?
Sure, no.
Pardon my bad German, but... It's actually a mental disorder. It's been in the news.
You say that, and as soon as I pull up the article, there's the Joker.
Right. In the news of the truly weird, this is a disease that causes people to make puns compulsively, joke, and engage in wacky behavior. And if you don't want it, and you don't want it for more than just social reasons. Witzelsucht is a mental disorder that causes the sufferer to compulsively make inappropriate jokes or puns. I think we suffer from that.
Yeah, so this isn't just a podcast. This is a support group.
We're going to rename Technorama. But no one can spell it.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, that'll be our code name. This is Project Witzelsucht.
Welcome to Wiltshire Slutch.
What's for lunch? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
The condition is generally a result of a stroke or injury to the orbital frontal region of the right side of the brain. The frontal lobe is where personality sits, peering out at the world imperiously. Any changes in this region result in dramatic shifts in mood, tastes, and interests. I knew that because I knew a friend who had a concussion of the brain. And it was actually not the concussion in the back of the head that affected him. It was what's called a counter coup, which compressed his frontal lobe, and then his personality changed totally.
Really?
Yep. Wow. People who take hits to the left side of the brain often become depressed or angry, while those who are injured on the right side tend to become euphoric and chipper no matter what. Now, if you're smacking yourself in the right side of the forehead right now, please hold off for a second. You will be chipper, yeah. But you'll be chipper in a dark room locked away from everyone because they can't stand you.
That's where my office is at work. What?
The orbital frontal region?
No, they got me locked in a dark room so they can't stand me.
A 56-year-old man once suffered a stroke in the right orbital frontal region and developed both Witzelsucht and hypersexuality.
Wow.
Of course, the inappropriate joking resulted in him driving off all the women around him. He would joke, make puns, and talk all the time, often to the point where doctors had to interrupt him to conduct tests on him. His jokes would constantly have...
ironic.
Close. His jokes would constantly have erotic content, and he didn't care if people told him to stop or if his wife was around. A 57-year-old woman, on the other hand, suddenly became the life of the party after she suffered a small stroke, but stopped many of her personal hygiene routines.
Not good.
And although people with Witzelsucht constantly make jokes, laugh, and sometimes sing all the time, sounding more and more familiar, they are unable to respond to the jokes of others.
What'd you say?
That would sit... You're the one who's always laughing, man. jokes or comedic movies completely stone-faced.
Even till today, there was this guy that apologizes to my parents for dropping me when I was a child.
I seem to recall a story like that in my history past, too. This is Salt's kid.
He keeps apologizing to my parents for dropping me, so.
Unfortunately, there aren't many ways to treat the condition. Doctors can try behavioral therapy, like constantly and patiently explaining that the puns aren't funny. Ever. When the problem is very bad, however, they can prescribe mood stabilizers and try to return the people to their former selves. In some cases, the doctors, out of mercy, might want to prescribe something for the patient's caregivers as well. Tranquilizers. So,
wow, that sounds
funny. At first. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Remember When segment. And we're going to talk about one of my old favorites is actually turning 35. Yikes.
Hi, do you like geeky podcasts? Of course you do. Do you like free stuff? Hey, who doesn't? If you like podcasts and winning free stuff, then you'll love the Great Geeky Podcast iTunes Review Contest. All you have to do is leave some iTunes reviews for some great podcasts and email your name and the name of your iTunes review in, and you'll be entered into a contest for some great prizes, including DVDs, action figures, posters, and more. There's even a complete Buffy DVD setup for grabs. Head on over to BetweenTheLinesStudios.com/contest to read the list of participating podcasts and complete entry rules. Even if you don't use iTunes, there's some great ways to get some entries by sharing the contest on Twitter and Facebook. The contest ends May 15th, so make sure you get your reviews in quickly.
In the Remember When segment, we found out that the Apple II just turned 35. Oh my gosh, I feel old. That's my statement, and I'm sticking to it.
35?
Yeah.
Wow.
The original Apple II, get this, it was 35 years ago on April 16th. Hey, that's my wife's birthday. Got to remember that. I'll get her an Apple II.
Make a note.
And the two Steves and a handful of employees introduced the world's game changer, the Apple II. Easily recognizable today as one of history's first truly accessible personal computers, it's a bit odd to think that the iconic rig was almost overlooked at its debut at the 1977 West Coast Computer Fair. Even so, the beige box weaseled its way into our homes and schools. $1,300 bought you the most basic model for the machine that taught a generation of children the dangers of fording a river.
What?
Rocking a paltry 4K of fording Oregon Trail. You didn't get the reference?
No, I got it. I'm sorry. Okay. My headache's kicking in.
Rocking a paltry 4K of RAM. That would be this show if your headache's kicking in. 4K of RAM and a 1 megahertz processor. Despite its age, the old Apple II is doing its best to keep up with the times, making music, going to concerts, and even trying out those hip Bluetooth protocols its grandkids are always talking about. Feeling nostalgic? Check out Time's in-depth tribute to the Apple II's history, influence, and legacy at the links below.
I really did. I know I'm along with everybody else. I really did love that computer.
I like the model they have shown here with like a 9-inch black and white monitor.
Oh, you know, back in the day, and I know there's other people that can corroborate my story, but there was a putt-putt here, which now, oddly, a Starbucks is in its... A putt-putt.
What is a putt-putt?
Putt-putt.
Oh, putt-putt, the mini golf place.
Yeah. I said, now there's a Starbucks standing where it was at, but... Anyway, there used to be a guy named Gary that ran the place. I guess it was, I don't know if it's his franchise or what, but anyway, inside there was in the arcade, he had a table sitting out with the Apple sitting there with that same, you know, green and black monitor.
That was a black and white that they're showing there.
I'm sorry, black and white, not green and black, but you know what I'm saying. So anyway, he had it sitting out hoping that some of the kids would learn how to program, and of course, I messed with it some. He had some games on it.
You just play many hours of Kessel Wolfenstein and look, Falcons.
On this Apple is mini golf. The putt-putt.
That's why he went out of business.
No, but he was a nice guy, and he put it out there, and it was kind of neat. And I had that math teacher that I guess thought I was some kind of prodigy. Boy, did I prove her wrong.
One of these shows, I am going to set up my Apple IIe here and just pipe some sound into the show every once in a while.
Wait, you got one there?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I have an Apple IIe in the basement.
I don't believe you.
Craig.
But this is an Apple II, not an Apple IIe.
Correct. The 2, then the 2 Plus, then the 2e, the 2c. I mean, it was a long-lived product.
Well.
But I anyway, do still
like
have
I said,
one.
I had a math teacher that would encourage me to go around the other side of the partition and in the classroom and mess with the computer when I did my math quick enough.
I are typing on computers.
Also, that came out in the 1980s, some robots that didn't do so well. In 1983, Pasadena, you could have Chinese food delivered to your table by a robot.
Robot.
Yes, it seemed the future of robot servants had finally arrived, or it would have if the robots weren't so much trouble. Shane Hayashi, owner of Pasadena's 2 Panda Deli, purchased the Japanese robots Tanbo R1 and Tanbo R2. Good names. For roughly $20,000 each. That's in 1983 money. Hoping that the novelty would make his business. Oh, boy. And the robots were apparently a hit. They brought food to the table, told jokes. Oh, I can only imagine.
I lubricated your food. Ha, ha, ha.
Would you like soy sauce with that? Ba-dum chunk.
What is this fly doing in my soup? Ha, ha, ha.
I have not seen your cat. Here is your lunch. They could say a handful of phrases in English, Spanish, and Japanese. I have not seen your gato. Here is your lunch. And they could also dance along to disco music, which was not so popular in 1983. There's your flaw in the ointment.
Yeah.
But it only happened when they worked. Apparently, the robotic employees weren't always agreeable. I'm going on strike.
Smoke when break. Union rules.
Smoke and break. The circuit starts smoking. Uh-oh, let out the magic smoke again. When they didn't understand customers' commands, they would curtly tell them, that's not my problem. Interference from the police radios sometimes caused them to drop food or spin around in circles. And if someone stepped in their paths as the robots headed for the destination, bathroom break, the Tanbos would stop in their tracks, but wouldn't continue once the obstacle was removed.
The proximity sensors were only one way.
Oops, wet them. Hayashi tried to sell similar robot waiters to other restaurants, but the machines required constant maintenance. In the end, the 2 Pandas robot proved more of an oddity than a harbinger.
Well, you know, I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I shared this before on the show, but when I was DJing, I had a friend who was into CBs and ham radios and stuff, and he had his radio peaked out where it was putting out a little more wattage than it's supposed to. I won't divulge any names because that's illegal, but he would come to the bar I was DJing at, and of course I got the music going and everything. Well, some of the speakers weren't properly shielded, or the wiring or something. So when he keyed up, it made the terrible sound in there. I hated when he did that. I could only imagine you do that around these these robots. They started spinning in the middle of the room.
I remember radar detectors used to go off when like. Grocery store doors would open and close, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were terrible with that.
And, you know, take a look at the picture in the show notes. See the robot?
Yes, it looks
it
like...
It bears a striking resemblance to...
C-3PO.
R2-D2, yeah.
No, I'm not...
Slugnut.
Slugnut.
He's got a dome. Granted, it's clear. More like the, you know, Robbie the Robot style. He's only about 4 feet tall, but instead of his legs going backwards working his wheels... They hold out the food tray.
Yeah.
We now know where R2 went in the summer job.
Yeah. It does look like what R2 would look like. It, like when he had that tray on the top of his head. Oh, there it is right there at the bottom.
He got the chrome job.
Yeah. This is an interesting robot, though. I bet you could do all of this with a little tiny Arduino board now.
I was going to say, it ain't 20 grand anymore.
The robot was padded with 16K and 1 megahertz.
There's an Apple II inside.
That's right.
Oh, good times, good times. Okay, have fun editing that.
Yeah.
Take a note of the time where you're supposed to break this thing apart.
You know what? Whatever. I'll figure it out. We should just let it run all together.
Yeah, watch for the big three spikes.
Yeah. I'm just going to let it run together. Say, screw it. Here you go.
You get Technorama, all wires crossed.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyle, you missed it earlier. We were doing a podcast.
Public hangout.
Chuck started a public hangout, and we got spammed.
We got this guy from, what was it, Armenia or something?
Egypt.
He said he was from Egypt, but he originally I thought he said he was from Croatia or something. But
he was changing it on the fly.
My English is not so good. It's like, okay, yeah, you're all right, you're all right. And then he just kept interrupting and talking and you know, he did the typical, where are you from? And then he starts going into, you send me $5? Like, marketing not so good? Like, wait, yeah, I'll say your marketing sucks.
The funny thing was he couldn't articulate his message, so he took his headphones off and put it on the microphone so he could have it play like
he typed into Google Translate and had it read the English version because it was clearly broken English.
Yeah, www dot.
I never got the URL, but I'm not going there anyway.
I got that part. That was like, what?
Our first hangout spam. So yeah. We're not doing any more public ones. Oh, how I yearn for on-air capabilities.
Yeah.
That was
We need to continue using like the Technorama one and be consistent with that. So
get some points. So go plus one this thing. Here. Is it on there right now?
No, we need to consistently hang out using this account.
Okay.
You know, so they have community advisor, community people that
podcast.
Watch out for that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's February 26th.
What are you talking about?
Okay. We haven't done a hangout with the Technorama account since February 26th.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We need to continue using it.
Okay. We'll do that. Otherwise, Google will look at this and go, you guys don't do this very regularly, do you?
I thought about doing a Technorama at lunch during the week every once in a while.
I was thinking about doing a short hangout, too, but the job has got me crushed right now. I have no spare time.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and finish this up.
Okay.
Bring it home, Chuck.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
I'll tell you what's up with that. This is my internet idiot of the week. Not that I have one every week, but this week, there's a doozy.
You go out and find one.
Yeah, I have to limit it to one.
That's right.
This is a story about a young man who cleverly siphoned gasoline from a police car. Now, that's not just novel in itself. His buddy took a picture of him flipping off, giving the bird. And then posted it to Facebook. It gets dumber. And you can pretty much figure out what happened next because the car number is right there, car 209. He might as well have just been wearing a name tag that says, hello, my name is, please find me at. It's like,
well,
just
clearly he's Irish. I see this hat.
It's not too difficult to go, well, if Bob posted this picture and Bob has all these friends. Oh, look, there's his friend that looks like this doofus in the picture.
Hey, yeah, the police are looking at it, and on the side it says, you may also know.
Right. Other felons include.
Yeah.
You know, at least wear a mask next time. Oh, look, Richard Nixon siphoning gas again.
This is just classic dumb crook news, man. Siphon. Hey, wait a minute. He's not going to be siphoning gas that fast in that little tiny tube.
It's like a quarter-inch surgical tube. It's probably why he's flipping the bird. He's like, come on, it's going so slow.
He's flipping his friend off for bringing such a small tube. That's what it is.
Your camera sucks.
Taking me an hour to get this little bit of gas.
Yep. You win our award for Internet Idiot of the Week.
Hey, does Facebook have a terms of service regarding idiots? No.
Yeah, don't friend them.
Unfortunately, no. I'm sorry, I'm laughing too much. Let me back out.
He's changed
back
his off. Name to Jailbird 1217.
That's his user handle.
You certainly don't want to be following him on Twitter.
No kidding.
Idiot. Several people be following in prison.
Yeah.
Okay. Your comment. Now, I see in here it says, I saw the Three Stooges today. What was it, a parade?
No. Well, there was one, the idiot stifling the gas. No. No, I saw the movie, The Three Stooges, which I actually liked it. Huh?
New, when was this made? How did I miss this news?
It's a brand new movie. You haven't seen it? Or heard about it?
What? CGI?
No. They have three actors. Forgive me, I can't recall their names right off the top of my head, but the three
are
actors...
Are they reprising the characters?
Yes, it's set in a modern time.
Okay.
But they're three orphans at the orphanage, and they're trying to save the orphanage. Well, the movie split up, actually, in three parts, kind of like the serials. You know, the serials were little 30-minute shorts. Well, they split the movie up like that, too, and each one had a title during the movie, which was neat. The actors did great. I think they nailed it, as anybody could have.
Now, there are a lot of Stooges that kind of went in and out of the genre over the years.
No, it was just Larry Moe and Curly. Wasn't Shemp or anybody else. But no, okay. It was just those three. And no, they nailed it. But, you know, all the hits and everything was great. It wasn't, you know, of course, classic film, you know, noir. But
did they do it in black and white?
No, it wasn't black and white.
Oh, that kind of loses something.
But
I mean, there's a bit of nostalgia in a black and white film, even these days.
Yes. Well, that would have been interesting, but I don't know if everybody would have got it. Kids probably wouldn't get it. Now, it was funny. The one part I noticed all the kids, there was a bunch of kids there, including my own, and you could hear all the kids cackling because they were hitting each other and, you know, doing all the slapstick stuff. That was kind of funny. But what I thought was... I guess I can kind of share this. It's not really a spoiler. At the very end of the movie, right after, you know, the Stooges story was over, they had what was the Farley Brothers. It wasn't them, but the Farley Brothers directed the movie. It had these two guys. One had trouble buttoning his shirt because he would look so really buff. And another guy was there. Like, they said, we're the directors. We're the Farley Brothers. And they started talking. It was like a disclaimer. You know, the things you saw in this movie, this is how we poked them in the eye by hitting them on the eyebrow. So don't do this at home. And then we're talking about the hammers were fake. So I was like, so it was really, they were telling me, don't do this at home kind of thing. And we were walking out and Harrison goes, do you think somebody would really do that? And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, if you'd like the Stooges, I'd say you'd like that movie. I'm pretty good.
Come on, when you were a kid, didn't you do that thing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hey, I also showed Harrison The Matrix today.
Take somebody's nose and twist them off.
I told, well, listen, this earlier in the morning we watched The Matrix on DVD.
Yes.
And I, later on, it kind of mixed in genre. I said, well, that'd have been funny if he did that to Agent Smith, wouldn't it? Trying
with the cheesy sound effects.
Yeah. But yeah, what's funny is we were watching The Matrix. Yeah, yeah, we were watching The Matrix, and you know when Neo does the
Neo?
Neo, I can't even.
Nemo.
I'm sorry, I'm not feeling it tonight. Yeah, whatever his name was, did the bullet time thing and dodged the bullets.
Yeah,
Harrison goes, "Oh man, I've seen that a million times." I was like, "It's because of this, you know?"
Right. This is the source, buddy.
This he went. Oh,
it's kind of like watching Fairly Odd Parents and then seeing Darth Vader go, oh,
yeah. Yeah, I thought that was funny. Oh, I've seen this a million times. Sure. Yeah. But this is the first. So
that's funny.
I did tell him, you know, the first one was really good. I enjoyed this movie, but the other two.
Stop
not
now.
So much.
Yeah.
Not so Stop. Much. What I should do is actually put the other two in and just fast forward to the special effects fight scenes. And that's there you go. You got it. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that.
Then that takes us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for your... This has been Craig's Movie Review on Technorama.
I don't know what that was going by.
This takes us to the end of the show. Unfortunately, there will be no show next week for May 2nd, 2012. I am out of town again. Sorry. And won't have time to be doing any of this wonderful research that this show vastly requires. Scouring the internet. Scrubbing the internet. No.
Yeah.
Scraping the scale off the bathtub of the internet. That's kind of where we go.
Yes.
Along the way, though, we do appreciate you listening. That'll give you guys who haven't been catching up. I know some of you are a few weeks behind.
Hey, wait.
You get a chance to catch up now.
Hey, so you're saying that we're like the scrubbing bubble scrubbing the internet?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay.
I'm like a hammer and chisel.
Chipping away at the internet. All right.
We appreciate it. You're giving us support, like listening to this show. There are other many ways to show your love. Call us on the listener line. We haven't heard from many of you in a long time. We haven't heard from any of you in a long time. 206-222-CHAT. Yes, I know it still works because I tried it myself. 206-222-2428 in the U.S. Or if you want, just record a short MP3 file and mail it to us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Follow us on Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. And follow us on Google Plus. Remember, we're doing the Hangout thing. We appreciate every one of you who has joined us on the Hangout. We had a rather interesting time because we opened the first one up to the public. Craig's going to creatively edit that out.
You'll hear it.
We got spammed.
Wait, you'll hear it.
No, Craig's going to leave some of that in. Okay, you heard it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do an outtakes reel or something.
Yeah.
Thanks for those who did join us. I can't pronounce half the names who were on that first bout, but we do have our regulars, Madmar, Tim Elliott, and a few of the others in the chat room. Thank you very much. And join us Sunday at 9:30. We're going to be on Google Plus. Follow Technorama Podcast. We're going to start using that more regularly. I know sometimes we're using me, sometimes we're using Craig. But
yeah, search for Technorama Podcast, not just Technorama.
What do you get if you search for just Technorama?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Well, we win the Google search. We still outrank them.
Yeah.
Go to the website, find out all the other ways you can appreciate this show. No, it doesn't sound like it came out right anyway. But in either case, thank you for downloading and listening. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Check them out. You'll find something you'll love. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the website, you ought to subscribe, man. It's like 2012. Get around to it. Just click on that little iTunes icon or the RSS thing and do what you want. It'll come to you automatically. Until next time, do what some of you do, and I know you do it, because we have proof now. Some of you admit it. Tell a friend about Technorama. Easy as that.
Yeah.
Until next time, give me a binary high five.
101.